Let's pray as we look at God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of James. Thank you for all that we've been learning. We pray as we come to this challenging passage now, that you would speak to us, and by your Spirit you would change us, so that we are not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine that we are all at sea. We're all in a ship, we're on a cruise, back when you could do those kind of things. We're on a cruise, forget COVID, it's all fun. We're in the middle of the sea. As far as you can see, there is sea. Are you there? Swaying maybe slightly. I've got bad news, I'm afraid. The ship is sinking. Sorry about that. You were probably enjoying the cruise and now we're going down. But don't worry, I've got good news for you. It's ups and downs on the sea. There are lifeboats and there are enough lifeboats for us all. Now imagine that you're on that ship and it's sinking. And here's the key question for you and for me, because I'm on the boat, the ship as well. Can the lifeboats float? Can the lifeboats float? It's quite an important question, because the ship you're currently on cannot float. And so can the lifeboats float? In one sense, of course, what have you got to lose? The ship is sinking. But do you believe the lifeboat can save you? Now imagine that you look at the lifeboat and in your detailed knowledge of lifeboats, you think it looks all right, it looks sturdy enough. So you conclude the lifeboat can float. It will save you. Although, to be fair, you probably thought that when you got on the big ship, but there we are. Now you think about this. What does it mean to believe the lifeboat will save you? Imagine you're running along the deck. Shouldn't do that in normal time, but this is an emergency. And you go towards the lifeboat, and there's a man standing on the side of the ship. And people are getting on the lifeboat, and he's just standing there. And you go to him. Is this lifeboat going to float? Is it good? And he says to you, yeah, that right there, that's a great lifeboat. You don't get a better lifeboat than that. Go ahead, go for it. So you jump in the lifeboat and you just notice that the guy who just told you it's a great lifeboat is still standing on the ship and he's not doing anything. And you go, is this a good boat? He said, yeah, it's a great boat, you'll be fine. So you go to him, are you coming? And he goes, no, I'm all right, I'm fine here, thanks. Do you believe this boat is safe? Yes, absolutely, you'll be fine. Are you coming? No, I'm all right, thanks. Now here's my question, who is more likely to drown? You or that guy? Of course you might both die, but who is more likely to drown? The guy who refuses to get in the lifeboat, in what sense does he believe the lifeboat can float? In what sense does he believe what he's telling you? It's gonna be fine, but he won't get in the boat. What good is belief that does nothing? Is it even really belief? That's the fundamental question that's the heart of this passage in James. And of course, it's not about ships and lifeboats. It's about what kind of faith saves you. Look at verse 14. Let's see if this works. There we are. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he hath faith, but does not have works? And then look at that key question at the end of the verse. Can that faith, the faith that says, oh yeah, I believe all this, but no works, can that faith save him? Can a faith that says, I believe, but doesn't do anything about it, can such a faith save you? What do you think? Can such a faith save you? You can tell your neighbour if they're in your bubble. If not, don't do that. No. What do you think? Well, James's answer is no. In fact, James's answer is no, 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 and no again. Just look at it. Verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. No, 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 and then no again. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he hath faith, but doth not have works? Can that faith save him? No, 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 and no again. When it comes to it, says James, a faith that doesn't do, doesn't act, won't do. It won't save you. James gives four examples, two negative and two positive. And the first two show exactly that. A faith that doesn't do, won't do. A faith that doesn't do, won't do. Look at the first example. It comes in verse 15. And again, I want you to think what your answer to the question would be. Verse 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food. So a brother and sister, a fellow Christian, comes into the gathering and he or she is poorly clothed and they don't have food to eat. Verse 16. And one of you says, go in peace. Be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body. So they receive warm words, but no warm clothes, no warm food. And James asks, what good is that? Now again, think of what would your answer be? Now, I would answer the question like this. I would say that is no good because the guy is still going to go away hungry without clothes. You've given him warm clothes. Sorry, you haven't given him warm clothes. You've given him warm words, but no clothes and food. What use are warm words when the guy needs warm clothes and warm food? And despite thinking I'm normally an outlier and everything, I think that's probably how most people would answer that question. The surprise is that's not how James answers the question. Look at verse 17. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So what he's saying, what good are warm words when someone needs warm clothes and warm food? Well, of course it's no good for the guy you're speaking to. But actually, James is saying it's no good for you saying it. James says it's no good because, yes, the man goes away cold and hungry, but the person saying it goes away dead. Or at least their faith is dead. So James's point is not simply you need to feed the poor, but if your faith is such that it says, oh, God be with you, your faith is dead. You are in more trouble than the guy you've just sent away. Because faith that doesn't do won't do. It won't save you. Look at the second example in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. So what's going on here is someone saying, well, it's great, isn't it? We all do different things. John have faith, I have works. We all bring different things. Don't know why I picked on John there. Sorry, John. But you've got faith, that's good. Or worse yet, no. I've got distracted. So one guy have faith, another guy have works. That's fine, isn't it? We all bring different things to the table. And when he talks about faith here, he's talking about a kind of theoretical faith. I tick all the boxes. I believe what I'm supposed to believe. A faith that doesn't do, won't do. That's what he said. His second example is demons. And in terms of theology, you don't get much better than demons. Verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. God is one, we all agree with that, hopefully. Good. That's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But the demons would also agree with that. Even the demons believe it. The demons have great theology, says James. They have correct belief. But what good is that? What kind of faith, what kind of belief, where will it get you? That kind of faith will place you alongside the demons. And that won't save you. That kind of faith is useless. Verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Faith that doesn't do, won't do. Again, think of the ship on which we're all sinking. If you won't get in the boat, if you won't get on the lifeboat, what good is your belief? Can such faith, you're standing there going, it's a great boat, you don't get a better lifeboat than this. Can that save you? Well, if you don't get in the boat, you're going down with the ship. Faith that doesn't do, won't do. And then James gives us two positive examples. Hang on. Oh, didn't look like that on my computer. Oh, well. A faith that saves, it's a faith that does. A faith that saves is a faith that does. James gives two examples from the Old Testament, Abraham and Rahab. And they're examples of those whose faith was not alone. They had faith that does. So first, Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Now, of course, Abraham was the great example of faith in the Old Testament. And Abraham was saved because of his faith. The Apostle Paul makes that case. And James is not contradicting that. But he's making the point, what kind of faith saved Abraham? It was a faith that does. James is not contradicting what Paul said. James used the word justified in a slightly different way, I think. What he's not saying is that God looked at all that Abraham did and said, oh, well done. On the basis of all that you've done, Abraham, you can be saved. That's not what he's saying. God looked at Abraham's faith. But Abraham's faith was the type of faith that gets in the boat. It was Abraham's faith that saved him. Look at verse 22. You see, that faith was active along with his works. The faith was completed by his works. It's faith which saved him, but it's faith which was completed by works. And I don't think he means there, faith gave you 50% and then it was topped up with 50% works. I think it's more that the works were the obvious necessary outworking of faith. So again, think of the guy on the ship. What does it mean to believe that the lifeboat saves you? How do you know who believes in the lifeboat? Well, you just look at the lifeboat and you see who's in the lifeboat. If I believe the boat will float, well, that's a statement of faith. But the action, getting in the boat, is the necessary consequence of that statement of faith. It, if you like, completes the faith. If I simply say that I believe the boat can float, but stay on the ship, then I don't actually have the faith, do I? I just say the right words. Without action, it's not really faith at all. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. The completion of his faith was his willingness to offer Isaac. Had he refused to do that, it would have shown that he had no faith in God's promises. It's because he believed God's promises that he did that thing. Abraham's faith could have no other end. If it did, it wouldn't be faith. Faith that saves. It's a faith that does. Verse 22. You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled and says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God because he had faith. And because he had faith, he was willing to offer his son. He trusted the promises of God, so he acted. And he sums it up, and he goes back, James sums it up when he goes back to the negative. Can a faith that is not completed by works justify? No, verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. That is, not by a faith that merely says, yeah, I believe it all, but I won't actually get in the boat. A faith that is merely intellectual assent cannot justify, because it's not really faith. The Lord Jesus Christ calls us to follow him, to take up our cross and follow him. It's not enough to say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. If I'm not willing to trust my whole life with him, and therefore to take up my cross, to sacrifice then what does it really mean to say you believe in Jesus? Rahab chose the same, look at verse 25. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out by another way? Again, when it says justified by works, I don't think he means declared right because of the works. What he means is Rahab's action. Well, the only possible thing she could have done if she had genuine faith. I mean, think about it. Imagine that, oh, my mind's gone blank. Whoever it was came to look for the spies. And she goes, oh, I really believe in God. Yeah, yeah. Oh, the spies, yeah, they're upstairs, yeah. Actually, that would show she didn't really trust God. She didn't really trust God with the threat in which she was facing. If she had given the spies out, it would have been no good if they were carted off. Say, don't worry, I believe. It would have meant nothing, because her actions would have shown that she did not believe. But actually, in reality, her actions showed that she did believe. They were a necessary consequence of her faith. And that's what we get in verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Because without the works, your faith has shown up just to be, I'll tick the box, I'll say the right things. But it means nothing. The boat can float, but I'm not getting in. Well, that won't save you. A faith that doesn't do won't do. A faith that saves is a faith that does. Now, when we bring it to us, I think the question we should be asking is not first, what should we be doing? But crucially, do we have a faith that saves? Or do we have a faith that is theologically accurate, full of warm words, but doesn't do? And so won't do. Remember verse 17. What was at stake is salvation. Because we are saved by faith, we must have faith that saves. So we need to think what our faith compels us to do. Where might our inaction expose a lack of faith? The application is to act on your faith. If you believe, do you do what you believe? There are three examples just in the book of James. So think of the example of favoritism we looked at last week. You can say God created all people which gives them dignity and value, and that all in the church are saved entirely by grace, not because of who they are or what they've done, not because of their own merit. You can say that. So no one is more special or more important than anyone else. We're all saved freely by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say that, but do you believe that? Well, the test is, do you have favourites? Do you treat people like that? Or are the same divisions that you see in the world still in the church? Do you believe it? Not do you tick the box, but do you do it? Or what about those in need in verse 15? What good is it to say that you believe God loves all his people, that God loves everybody, and that you love everybody when, if you are faced with a need in the church, you do nothing? Because your inaction shows you don't really believe that God loves everybody. You don't really believe that everybody is valued by God. You're like the guy on the ship. It's a great lifeboat, you go ahead, but I'm staying here. And I don't think it's just about poverty or financial need. What about someone who struggled through lockdown and admits to you that they've found it hard, they've struggled? What will you do? Warm words? God will bless you, I'll pray for you. But if you won't do anything, do you really believe that? I said three, but I realised I cut the third one out, so you'll do that next week. But you see the question. It's not saying we're saved by what we do. It's not saying, right, okay, you've all got to do stuff to be... But it's saying faith, real faith, changes you. Real faith means you do something. There's no point saying you believe if you don't do anything about it. Back to verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but not have works? Can that faith save him? No. No, no, and no again. And that's where I'd like us to leave us. Not simply considering, what do I need to do this week? Although we do need to consider that. But I want to leave you considering, what kind of faith do you have? We're called to sacrifice everything to follow Christ. Well, do you have that kind of faith? The test will be, are you willing to sacrifice? The guy on the ship, what does he need to do? He doesn't need more explanations about how great this lifeboat is. He knows all that. He needs to get on the lifeboat. He needs what he knows to be drilled into his heart so that it results in action. And if it doesn't bring about actions, it's not really faith at all. Faith that doesn't do, won't do. But a faith that saves is a faith that does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know each one of us, you know us here this morning. And you know our hearts, and you know our faith. And forgive us and show us when what we've said has not matched what we did, when actually we've not trusted you, we've not acted with faith. And draw us to you this morning, that we have a deeper confidence and trust in all that Christ has done for us. And knowing that, may we be spurred on to action. In Jesus' name, amen.